Proverbs 16. Look at verse 9. We're going to look at verse 9 this morning. Proverbs 16, 9. If you take notes, I've entitled the message, Yield the Right of Way. Yield the Right of Way. Proverbs 16, 9. Thus saith the Lord, the heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. Before we look at our text, let's pray and ask the Holy Spirit to help us understand it. Spirit of God, we come to you in thanksgiving for all of the word. And as we look at this one text, we ask you to walk amongst us. And Lord, there are some that need edification. There are some here that need to have a better understanding of your word and perhaps some applications. We pray you'd give us all applications. And also, Lord, if there is one listening who doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, we pray that today they might come to know the captain of their salvation, our Lord Christ. So walk amongst us, Lord. Speak to our hearts, speak to our needs, and help us in understanding this verse that we might take something from it and use it in our life to glorify you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. The heart of a man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. Our text this morning teaches us that although we plan our lives, and we do that, don't we? Although we plan it, it's God's sovereignty that rules over everything in this world. Not one thing is not under the sovereignty of the Lord God. I have a proof verse for that, Psalm 103. Verse 19. The psalmist writes, The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. And all means, at least in the Greek, it means without exception. It means that God rules everything. There is not, and I think I mentioned this earlier, there is not one thing that we have that wasn't given to us. Our mothers gave us birth. God gave us breath. He gave us a span of days. He gave us good health, bad health. He gave us a family or lack of a family. There's not one single thing in this universe, not one atom, that God is not sovereign over. And here's the reason why. Because if there is one thing, one atom that he's not in charge of, then he's not God. It's that simple. He has to be sovereign in everything. And the word sovereign means above all. Recently, and I say this to you because recently I've talked to a lot of people, a few special people, and I explained that scenario to them. And these people have experienced some serious life changes. We go through a period of time where as a pastor, we have periods of time when everything is fine. Maybe you have a little cold or you have a fever. We pray for that. But other times, life comes at you fast. And we have some problems, serious life problems. And I've had to explain this idea that although we're planning our lives out every day, it doesn't always work out the way we plan. And it's because this text makes it abundantly clear that the Lord establishes our steps. So although we start off with what we want, it doesn't always end up that way. I told these people, if you believe in God, if you believe there's a God, you must understand that every twist and turn in your life is put there by a sovereign creator, your creator. And our text is the proof verse. The heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. That's a proof verse that he establishes your steps. He establishes everything. So when your life takes a turn for the good or the bad, either way, it's God redirecting you. You might want to write that down in your heart. Think about that. Now, that's hard to process. That's a very hard thing to understand. But Isaiah 45, 7 says it's true. Turn there. Turn to Isaiah chapter 45, verse 7. I'd like you to read that with me. Isaiah 45:7. Here, God's man says that it's hard for us to understand good and bad, but he tells us why. Isaiah 45:7, he says, I form light and create darkness. I make well-being and create calamity. I am the Lord who does all these things. That's a proof verse. He's in charge of everything, the good, the bad, and the ugly. He's in charge of it all, every bit of it. And when you and I don't grasp, if we, you and I don't grasp that truth and yield the right of way to God, when he puts detours in our life, what happens? We get sick. We suffer. And I don't mean sick physically, spiritually sick, emotionally sick. Our minds torture us with emotions like fear, anxiety, anger, depression, and the loss of hope. Isn't that true? When things are going bad, aren't those some of the symptoms that we have? Fear, anxiety, anger. And fear and anger go together like bread and butter because they're one and the same. Depression and the loss of hope. Do you understand that when I say that and you look out into the world, you go on the internet or you pick up a hard copy of the news and you look out there, do you see hope in the world? There is none. Do you see depression in the world? Do you see fear in the world? Do you see anxiety in the world? Of course you do, because it's there. You have to understand something. The world rejects God, and the result of it is they suffer these spiritual maladies. And that's simple to do. All you have to do is turn on television, look at your phone, and you'll see all those symptoms in the world all around us. Our mind tortures us. But there is a remedy for that. There's a remedy for despair. And that remedy is having faith in Jesus Christ. That's the remedy. That's the only remedy. Only those who know Christ as Savior are able to submit and accept and yield the right of way when God redirects their life. You know, I didn't get saved. I really didn't like God at all for most of my life. For 49 years, I wanted nothing to do with him. I used to tell people that were religious, you know what? You like your God, he works for you. And I used to think that I said it sometimes, but I thought it always. God was just a principle that people had in their mind to help them get through life because they were too weak to do it on their own. They needed somebody to hold them up. And of course, I didn't need that. At the time, anyway, that's what I thought. It's not true, though, is it? It's not true. The remedy for faith comes in Christ. Why? Because in Christ we have something that deletes the suffering of anxiety, depression, and all the other things that we suffer when we don't yield the right of way to God, when he redirects our life. And only those who know Christ can submit and accept and yield the right of way when God redirects our life. And you know why they can do it? You know why every one of you who know Christ can when God redirects your life, why you can do it? Doesn't mean it isn't going to hurt. It doesn't mean that it isn't going to, you might not bleed. Doesn't mean it's not a bad report. Doesn't mean that the bank is empty. It simply means that you and God have a relationship, and when you bring that to him in faith, because you're in Christ, he's going to give you the attitude to deal with it, just like I said when we prayed, as I said when we prayed. And the best part of that is God's promises, which never fail, tells us in Romans 8:28. For all things work together for good to them who love God and are called according to his purpose. And again, that word all means without exception. Think about that for a second. All things work together for your good, Angel. You go out and you talk to people about God, you think maybe, well, I don't have all the words yet. Yeah, you do. You had the perfect words. Why? Because they're going to work together for your good, and perhaps even for the people that you're talking to's good as well. All things work together for their good. When we look at our text, I want to look at our text now. There's 2 points in there, just two small little points. The first one is the heart of man plans his way, and the second one is the Lord establishes his steps. Those are the 2 points. In the first section of the text, that it teaches us that it's good for people to plan and plot a course for their lives. We should plan. We should have goals in life. Proverbs 24:27, prepare your work outside, he says. Get everything ready for yourself in the field, and after that, build your house. Go ahead and do it. Make your plans. And biblical planning is throughout the Bible, right? Joseph, what did he do? He planned to store up grain to store up grain and save Egypt. And in saving Egypt, he'd go on to save Israel. How about the Proverbs 31 woman? She's described as planning for her family's future by managing her household diligently. The 10 virgins planned ahead by bringing extra oil for their lamps. And that's a form of future preparation, of preparing. And let me ask you this on a personal note. Don't all of us have some sort of short or long range plan for our lives? Do you live just for today, or are you thinking about tomorrow? Of course we do. Don't you plan to bear fruit in your life every day? Don't you want to do something good every day? Don't you want to take the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, 22 and 23? And don't you want to love somebody? Don't you want to be joyful? Don't you want to have peace in your life? Don't you plan for that? Or do you just get up in the morning and say to yourself, well, I got to go to work today, and it's going to be a long day. I got all this to do. How do you get any love or peace out of that? How about this? I'm going to work today, Lord, and I got a long day, a hard day, and I need your help. I need your help. I pray you put somebody in my life that I can love. I pray you bring a little peace and joy to my heart, even while I'm working. Do you do that? The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. How about patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? Do you get up in the morning before your day starts and have your coffee or whatever your ritual is, and then do you think of those things that you want to project into the world, or do you just want to get through the world? There's the difference there. There's a big difference between getting through the world and putting something into the world, because there's not many people today outside of Christ people that put things in the world that are good. And how about spiritually, Christian? Do you plan on growing spiritually? You know, the Bible makes it abundantly clear. There's no neutral in the religion of Christ. There's no neutral. You're either going up or you're going down. That's very simple. You plan on growing? And if you are, how are you doing that? What's your plan? Do you have a Bible study you attend? Do you pray every day? Do you read your Bible at night? That's how you plan to grow spiritually. And are you planning on pressing toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus? As Paul wrote in Philippians 3 and 4, do you do that? Are you pressing toward the mark every day? Do you remind yourself who you are every day? Do you try to make a difference in the world you live in every day? And are we not preparing as God's people? Aren't we not preparing for eternal life? Is that not true? Eternal life with Jesus? Are we not going to be with him? Open your Bibles to John and turn to chapter 17. I want to read something to you that if you read this, John 17, if you read this once a day, and it's in verse, let's see where it is. Believe me. One in us. Let's start at verse 21. John 17:21. He's talking about in 20, he says, I do not pray for these alone, that is his disciples, but he also for those who will believe in me through him, through their word. That's you and I. Jesus prayed that prayer for you and I. We're included in that. And he says that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And he says, Father, in verse 24, this is one you should highlight, you should think about, you should bring to work with you every day. He says, Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, that's all the born again children that God has given Christ to save, those you gave me, may what? What does it say? Be with me where I am. Do you understand that? That's a promise from God that he wants all of his people living with him. And aren't you preparing for that? How do we prepare for that? We keep a short sin list. We're mindful of what the Bible tells us about living a Christian life, and we do our best to do it. Let's look at the second half of the text. This is where the rubber meets the road. The second half of the text shifts to the focus on God's sovereign control of our life, but the Lord establishes his steps. You know, one of the things I love the most about the Bible is how succinct God is. I love things that are succinct. The Lord establishes his steps. Now, that term, establishes his steps, is referring specifically to God's sovereignty over man's destiny. There's not one of us here. I don't care what you have in your life. I don't care what's happened in your life. I don't care if it was good, bad. I don't care what it is. That your destiny was made or given to you by God. You may not like it. You may think it's terrible. You may say to yourself, how could God even do some of the things that have been going on in my life? Why would he do that to me? He's God. He's your creator. He can do whatever he wants. He owns you. There's a passage in Romans, in Romans, Ezekiel 16:8. It says, all souls are mine, saith the Lord. All souls. Jane doesn't own herself. Tom doesn't own himself. I don't own myself. None of us here own ourselves. We don't. We were all created through Adam, down the lines to your mother and father, but all by God. In the beginning, it was God who made Adam, and we're all the relatives of him. You know, people in my family like to go back in genealogy, and I guess they found that one of my ancestors was a minister on the Mayflower. And I thought to myself, well, that's odd. I mean, that even that. And I'm standing here today, a man who wanted nothing to do with God for 49 years. That is God establishing my steps, God establishing Tom's steps and David's steps, all of us. And we can't understand it all because God puts detours in our life. He redirects us. We plan, but he redirects. The term establishes his tech refers to his sovereignty. Proverbs 20:24 says, a man's steps are of the Lord. And then he says, how can a man understand his own way? That verse emphasizes, and you should look at that. Proverbs, you're in Proverbs, go to 20:24. Proverbs 20:24 says, a man's steps are of the Lord. How can a man understand his own way? That verse emphasizes God's absolute sovereignty over human life and the limitations of human understanding. When you make decisions, what are you basing them on? You're basing them on the limitations of your knowledge. That's really what you're doing. And it means we make our plans. But it also means that God directs our paths and determines the final outcome, whatever it is, he determines it. You're not here today by luck, chance, or coincidence. You're not. You're not living in Connecticut by luck, chance, or coincidence. You did not pick the color of your skin. You did not pick the geography of where you would live. You picked nothing. Everything is by God's sovereign will. That verse emphasizes it. And it means that we make plans. We do. But God directs our paths and determines that final outcome of what it's going to be. When you look back, and I'm going to look at Tom. When Tom looks back at his life, there's things in his life that didn't work out very well for him. There were struggles that he had in his life, raising a family, the whole bit, all of that. But look where he is now. And there's not one of you listening that hasn't been in, if you were to put it in a different way, I've been through hell in my life. But you're here today. You're listening. You're alive. You have a place. And every single one of you are here listening to this because God ordained your steps. He established your steps. There's not one thing that happened in Tom's life that God didn't give him the victory over. Not one thing. Otherwise, he wouldn't be here. How many times in your life can you say, God saved my life. God delivered me from the worst enemy we have, which is who? Ourselves. The one that looks at you in the morning in the mirror. That's the one who hurts you the most. Nobody's hurt you more than yourself. And God would never do that. He tells his children, he tells all of his children, that I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I draw you. If you look at the back of your bulletin or an insert in your bulletin, look at the back first. I'd like you to look at the back of the bulletin, and I'd like you to look at Paul Washer. He says, you were made by God and for God. And notice he says you were made for God, by God. He doesn't say and for yourself. No, you were made by God, for God. And here it comes. Until you understand that, life will never make sense to you. And let me ask you a question. Isn't that true? How many times have you said, what in the world is going on? And it's because you're looking at things carnally instead of spiritually. And then I want you to look at another one. Let's see where it was. Oh, yes, Chuck Swindoll. Worry is assuming responsibility for things that are out of our control. And that's pretty much everything. It's out of our control. But we plan it and we just go through it. And if it works out, fine. If it doesn't, fine. God's plan always works. Bar none, it always works. And I also put here in the back, I like to put these in every other Sunday or every Sunday, what I wanted. And I want to read that real quick. I got a little time. I asked God for love, but he broke my relationship. Angry and confused, I asked why. He replied, because I saw their hearts and I heard what they whispered against you. I asked for peace. Yet he allowed storms to come. When I cried out, why? He said, because storms will teach you how to command the calm in the middle of chaos. And we've all been there. And then he said, I asked for strength, but he gave me struggles. And when frustration filled my voice, he replied, struggles aren't punishment. They are the fire that releases the power inside of you. And have you not felt that fire? I asked for an easy road, but he placed a mountain in front of me. And when I felt weak and questioned why, he said, because climbing builds the strength you will need for the future. I have prepared for you. And in the end, I realized I didn't receive the things I asked for. I received what I needed, because elevation does not come through ease. It comes through endurance. Take that home, put it on your refrigerator, and know that God's plan for you will never fail. Your plans will fail, but his plans won't fail. And you know why? Because he thinks differently than we do. Isaiah 55:8-9. Vinny, that's That's a good one for us, isn't it? My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You don't have the answers to anything. When you compare your experience in life to the sovereign God, it's sort of like if you went to a lawyer, you were in a legal situation and you needed a good lawyer, would you go to a public defender? Or would you go to a guy that's charging $900 an hour? Well, you could use that same equation with this. You can plan your life, and if it doesn't work out and you find yourself drifting or you find a detour in your life, you have to understand that that's God saying, no, you're going the wrong way. I love you. I don't want you to go there. I want you to go over here. And yes, it's going to hurt, but it's okay because you'll get over it, because it's the hurt that heals. And people don't understand that. They don't understand that when you hurt, you actually heal in time from the hurt. I once had a baseball accident where I scratched, I didn't scratch, I tore the skin off my knee. And I remember being a kid. And they put some ice on it and my parents sewed it up. It was, put some stuff in there. It wasn't nothing really. But I watched that scab. And every time I looked at that scab, at first I felt the pain. But after a while, the pain went away and I saw the scab and I knew I was never going to slide into a base like that again. That's the healing. And the same thing comes with adversity in our life. And I don't care what it is. It doesn't matter. Yeah, up to and including death. And there is no real death. God made man to be immortal. And there's not one of us here who were born saved. The only human being that ever born was born saved was Jesus Christ. He was born saved because he was perfect and he never sinned. We're not perfect. We don't know, we know nothing compared to what God knows. It's less than nothing. But we plan our days, we plan our life. And when it doesn't go the way we think or the way we want, we look at it and we say, well, I don't know why God would do that to me. Instead of saying, Lord, I don't know why you did that, but thank you, because I know that ultimately this is going to work out for my good. You promised me, and not one of your promises has ever failed. You see, when you put your trust and faith in Jesus Christ, you remove from yourself that needle that sticks in your brain all the time, tormenting you. Saying, oh, the pain, oh, why did they do this? It's the same, it's that pain of looking back and Velcroing to your life all those past things that happened to you that have no relevance to your life today, none, zero. And you're carrying them around. The Bible says, as the dog returns to the vomit, a dog will return to his vomit, and a pig goes back to the wallow. You keep going back to the things that hurt you. And see what Jesus Christ, he says, look, I'll forgive you. I want you to forgive everybody that you offend. It's that simple. I want you to love me enough to take this book, and I want you to, as best you can every day, just find things in this book that pertain to your life and use them. That's how simple salvation is. And if you do that, I promise you this. I promise that no matter how much pain you feel, it'll work out for your good. I promise you that if you believe in me enough and you love me enough to live for me, I will do more. I will do more than heal your broken knee or whatever is in your life. I'll give you eternal life. This life, you have to understand. If you don't understand the things of God, you won't get this. But if you do, understand this. This life, for all people, whether they know it or not, is a testing ground. It's a one-time event that lasts a very short period of time. And when it ends, you go to a place where it's forever. It's a day that never ends or a night that never ends, one or the other. And what he's saying here is he establishes his steps. God establishes our steps. And what that means If you're listening to this and you haven't accepted Jesus Christ and that cross, you haven't accepted that in your life, none of this may make any sense to you. But it should. Think about it. But if it does, if you do realize that your life has no purpose right now, that suffering has no benefit to you at all. That's what happens when you're not saved. When you suffer, there's no benefit. I just got to get over it and hope it doesn't happen again. But if you're saved, you say, that suffering, Lord, caused me to learn something and feel your comfort. I took care of my late wife for many years at home. Hardest job I ever had in the world, to care for somebody, especially somebody that didn't care for you after a certain operation. But that being said, I did for 12 years, I took care of her. And then here's what happened. When she passed and went home to heaven, I sat there. I can't tell you how many times or when, but there was a point when I sat there and I felt God comforting me. I actually felt his hand. And what does that mean in words? It meant that I felt a peace and I felt a comfort in all my body. It was as if my body was numb. It was so at peace. And I realized I was being comforted by the sovereign God. And I realized, in addition to that, that I had never felt that before. I had never been through the battle I went through for 12 years, and I had never been comforted like I was when it was over. And that's exactly what I'm telling you here. If you know that cross, if you know the person that's on that cross and you love him, and you love him enough to live for him, he'll give you the comfort that passes all understanding. He'll give you peace that passes all understanding. And you know the wonderful part about it all? You don't have to come up with any money. You don't have to do a lot of good works. All you have to do is say, God, I'm a sinner. I'm sorry I sinned against you. Please, Father, forgive my sins. I call on you, Jesus, to save me from myself. And if you do that, Romans 10:13 says, all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen. He's never rejected anybody that's ever came to him with that prayer. And that's all it takes. And if you do that, first of all, let me say this. He's establishing your steps today, whether you're saved or unsaved. But if you're unsaved and you want the benefits of him, of knowing he's establishing your steps, of knowing that he is God Almighty, and knowing that God is for you, who can be against you, knowing all of that, you have the comfort of the sovereign God. In that passage we read in John, Father, I want them to be with us, me and you, them and me and them and you. That's really what salvation is. Salvation is nothing more than loving God enough to tell him you're sorry for what you did. And if you do that, he doesn't reject anybody. If you want more information on that, you see me or call me. Okay, in closing, I would also like you to know one last thing, that when God redirects your life, when your life is going this way and then you get a detour, it seems like a detour, that isn't rejection. He's not rejecting you. It's a form of protection that directs you to a better path. It's only when we submit to our Creator that he establishes our steps. You have to submit to him. And that's how you find the joy and peace I just spoke of. Psalm 16:11 says, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. And when God establishes our steps and leads us to the path of life, only then can we find genuine peace anywhere. Isaiah 26:3 says, you keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in Christ. If you're sitting here, you're a child of God, your spiritual takeout this morning is, although you plan make plans, the Lord establishes your steps. And that shows that God is guiding your life every single day, every single day. So buckle up. Buckle up. Let go of the wheel. Let him have it. Trust the divine GPS and watch what God will do with your life. I leave you with Paul's words in Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundant above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you. I thank you, Lord. You put this message on my heart so early in the week. June was overwhelmed with the quickness in which she got to practice her music. So God, I thank you for that, and I thank you that this message went out, and I pray, God, you would use it for your glory. And I do pray, Lord, listening online or here, if there's anyone, Lord, who wants to know more about Christ, all they have to do is see me, and I'll show them in your word how you want them to sit at this Lord's Supper's table the next time we prepare it. Thank you, God, for your goodness and grace. And thank you for this wonderful message you put on my heart. And thank you, Holy Spirit, for sharing it with this congregation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.